Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. My name is Lo Waita. I'm the host of Your Money and Your Mindset. And saying a good hello to people from Stickum Blog TV, Real Coaching Radio TV Network, Receiver Internet Radio, Radio Roku, New Media Radio and TV, and our partner Stitcher. You're probably watching this on your smartphone. Welcome, everybody. It's another week and another interesting and exciting episode I have for you, and a very interesting guest. And somebody I'm going to bring on who is, I guess, going to be talking about very relevant things to your life at the moment. Okay, so in this present economic climate, I know there are people out there who are desperately holding on to their jobs that don't really float their boat or serve them because they fear unemployment. And that's a real thing, right? Unemployment is a real thing. And the thing is that you make a lot of compromises as a consequence of that to stay where you are. So to take up and leave and start a new path or a new career takes courage. But before taking that step, I believe that everyone out there, you should know exactly what you want in your career, what you want in your personal life, etc. So I've brought on an expert in this field. Okay, and she's not just a career specialist in that sense. Yes, she is, because she uses some interesting modalities and techniques to help you out. So welcome, Suzanne Kembutz. Okay?
And you know what?
Okay, so we're just going to talk a bit about Suzanne first. She's a transformational living coach and a certified practitioner of Lifeline Technique, which you've heard me talk about previously, but we'll do a refresher here. See, what sets Suzanne apart is the fact that besides using this transformational living and Lifeline Technique, she uses astrology and numerology. So don't poo-poo that, because it is actually quite useful to get some clarity about your career path, creating health, creating relationships you want, ultimately just being the happy person that you were meant to be. So I'm going to ask Suzanne about these modalities, and which form an integral part of her coaching, and case studies of clients that she's had come to her not knowing what they wanted to do, knowing that they didn't want to be where they were, and then the help that she gives them in gaining clarity. So welcome, Suzanne Kembutz. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, Laura.
Great, great, great. So we know what you do in the sense that this is your purpose in helping people out. So just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be here, because you didn't start out as a transformational coach.
No, I didn't. I've only been doing this, well, working with it for around 3 years. So it's just over 3 years ago. I left a career of 30 years working in the corporate world, and specifically working in the pharmaceutical industry.
Drugs lady, okay.
Yes, sales, marketing, sales management, senior management.
Yep.
So it was around that time the thing started to pretty much go pear-shaped for me. I'd been working like a dog, working 10, 16 hours every day, pulling it together, travelling all over Australia, travelling all over the world, and wondering, what am I doing this all for? And things just didn't seem to be working for me the same way as they had been. So at around that time, I read a book called The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude, which is the Lifeline Technique.
Yeah.
This sounds interesting. And it really sat well with me. And I just really connected to it.
Okay, just before that, and you said that, people out there can identify with this, working long hours, slogging away at a job. Mm-hmm. Did you feel at any stage that I'm only staying here for the money?
Oh, absolutely.
And how did you feel inside in terms of you made then those sort of compromises that I was talking about earlier in the introduction? Mm-hmm. And did you feel as though, A, you were selling out on yourself, and B, it was costing you your health and your relationships as well?
Yeah. Well, it did end up costing me my relationship the same year that I left my job. My marriage also fell apart as well. So ultimately, yes, that did impact on me big time. It was, I was making compromises. This just wasn't what I was meant to be doing. Let's say from a management perspective, I loved working with people and loved coaching people. But it was quite interesting because it was quite different coaching to what I do now, because the people that I was working with, like the teams of people that I was working with, who I was there, they were my direct reports.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often when you're working with people, they don't want to be coached. They actually think they're pretty hot the way they are. So they don't actually want to hear feedback. They don't actually want to be coached. So that in itself was incredibly draining, or the amount of energy that I had to expend to work with a team of people was just huge. And I didn't realise just how huge until I left.
It was like an energy sink. You're putting all this effort in, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you were lucky if they thanked you for it.
Yeah. Well, they didn't thank me for it. They hated it. They didn't want feedback because they didn't know how to receive it.
Mm.
Couldn't receive it.
Wow. Okay. So that became the genesis of you saying, there's more to my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you did the brave thing.
Yeah.
Because you have to be brave, because money for a lot of people, or getting a regular paycheck, is security, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. So did you have to do the soul searching bit of saying, I have no idea how it's going to pan out, but I have to take this step. Otherwise, I feel like I'm drowning under concrete.
Yes. That's absolutely what I was doing. And in fact, there's no quick fix to this. It's been a process over 3 years. So it was the soul searching initially.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was just really recovering. There was a recovery phase sitting in here as well. But then also just supporting myself, learning. I suppose the way that I put it initially, and I forget this now because I've come so far with this, it was about me starting to build a relationship with me.
Wow, that's really insightful. So all you people out there in Stick and Blog TV, Real Coaching Radio TV, if you have any questions for Suzanne, this is live, this is interactive, please do Skype in or type in and come into the chat room and ask. I think a lot of people out there who can relate to what you're saying, in a sense that we're so busy managing other people, managing projects, that we forget our primary relationship is with us now, which is something that's not taught to us at school.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people stumble around. So do you think, I'm just going to sidetrack here for a minute, do you think that's why people go out there and have lots of different supposedly intimate relationships? Because ultimately they're looking for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what it's all about. People are yearning for something else in their lives. But what I find when I'm working with clients now, and it was myself as well, I can't say that I had affairs, but certainly there was a yearning there for me, that there was something more there. But so what happens, or it's with addictions. So like people become addicted to having affairs, they become, so addictions sort of take the place, or people fill up their lives with addictions, like shopping. Shopping is a huge addiction. Gambling, any sort of
alcohol.
Addiction, alcohol, eating,
endless watching TV,
yeah,
video games,
all of these things, which is where people tend to go because they're yearning, they're looking for something more in life. But what that more in life is it's about them. So when people are working in jobs that are not fulfilling their purpose, their needs, they're expending all of this energy to actually keep up the front, sort of to dumb themselves down, to
the
shut
house.
Their mouth, to pay for the big house,
big car,
to pay for the big car, to send their kids to private schools, whatever it might be for them. So the question that I ask is that they're doing everything for everyone else. They're doing it for the boss, they're doing it for their team, they're doing it for the project, they're doing it for the family, they're doing it to keep everything looking good. So the question I ask them is, where are you in all this?
And the answer usually is?
Well, they're not. They're there doing everything for everyone else.
Yes, but when you actually ask a client, that's they give you the look like, huh?
Yeah. Well, they don't, yes. Initially, they don't get it. So how important are you to you in your life?
Well, for most people, that will be a wake-up question, because usually it comes in the form, like you hear about people having a life-threatening disease before they go, maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and they drop all pretense, or they drop all this, I need to do it for somebody else, yeah, because I have to focus on myself to get better, first of all.
Yeah.
Right, well, we're just segueing there now. But before that, I'm interested in this thing called the lifeline technique that you use. And I've had an experience with you with that, and I'll say that to you folks out there. It's tremendous. I don't understand it really well just yet. So can you take us through what in the world lifeline is, first and foremost?
Okay. Well, initially I'm just going to say is that to heal, we have to feel.
Could you say that again? To heal?
To heal, we have to start feeling. We need to start feeling what's going on in ourselves.
Mm.
So the next step that I'll go to with this is that our symptoms...
Physical symptoms.
Physical symptoms that we have, whether it be major illnesses or whether it just be a headache or a sore ankle or a painful thumb, whatever it is... All of these symptoms are a way of our body having a conversation with us. Because, and the body is manifesting a symptom wanting to say to you, oi, there's something going on here that you're not getting, so it'll give you a symptom so that you'll take notice of it.
But instead, if we have a headache, we take a Panadol.
Yeah. So we take a Panadol or whatever it is, like to mask that, to stop it, to get it to go away. Whereas in actual fact, our bodies want us to actually look at that symptom. And now we're really lucky because there's a number of great books on the market there that can actually interpret these symptoms for us. So in a lifeline session, the first thing that I'll do with a client is to what we call is to connect them. And so we connect their spirit and their mind and their body and ground them, just to bring them into a space where what we call they're grounded and in present time consciousness. So they're not out there floating around somewhere. They're actually here in front of me as a
client.
They're
not being distracted.
Present. Yeah.
Okay.
So then the next thing I do is I ask clients, what are your symptoms? What physical symptoms are you experiencing at the moment? And that can be anything from what I've just mentioned before to it might be I've got breast cancer or I've got an autoimmune disease or I've got MS, whatever that is. And we can actually, we write down all of these symptoms and then we rate them and how much they're affecting a person in their lives. We also might ask, is there any personal situation that's causing you to feel stressed or upset at the moment?
Okay, I've got a question then. So what about people who say, because this is very common, I worked with somebody who had this quite often, and it was a migraine, and it was quite debilitating because they actually couldn't come to work because they had the flashes, couldn't get out of bed, literally just whacked them across the head with a 2x4 kind of thing. So what is that a symptom of if somebody who's got ever so often you get a migraine attack?
I work a lot with people that have migraines, and migraines is not being able to connect with yourself, with spirit in essence. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that they're shut off from, as some people might find this a bit weird, but shut off from their soul, which is just your spirit. It's shut off from your energy. So you're unable to connect fully with yourself. So it's a way of your body expressing symptoms. Now, it's quite interesting. And lifeline technique does work to
people with
reduce
migraines. Just as a shot in the dark, are these people also very angry people?
Yes, they can be. They can be very angry. They can be quite disconnected from their feelings, from their anger. So what happens is, I'm just thinking of a particular client who I've been working with for some time now, And she's a young woman. She's 30 years old. And she is in a situation that she just should not be in that situation.
Work-wise or personal?
Work-wise and personal. But she's actually so debilitated by her migraines that she can barely work 1 or 2 days a week. Now, that number of days that she can work has now increased dramatically. So she actually works for what here in Australia is called Centrelink, but Centrelink is a government agency.
That helps unemployed people, yeah, et cetera, find work and gives them a bit of a safety net, a welfare safety net, yeah?
Yeah. So when she goes to work, she's actually, we know that she's really good at working with people,
mm-hmm,
but it's actually the work environment that she's working in that is part of that is causing her migraines.
So would that be a toxic environment?
A very toxic environment.
So people out there, how many of you work in situations where you just wish your co-workers would just not be around? And also, you know, you get the sidetracking again, the odd person who can come in and light up a room or can come in and basically bring the energy of the place down.
Mm, absolutely.
And influence everybody around them and sets them on edge or just sucks up the energy, you know, the people around like that. So here, this is an opportunity, folks. You know, if you can identify with any of what Suzanne's just talked about, and that it is, in a sense, over the long period going to cost you your health, you think that this is a good time, even though it's quite unpredictable out there in the job market, to reassess what you're doing. And you cannot just keep saying, I'm doing it for the money. Well, you can, but eventually you're paying with your life. You know, I'm not being harsh here, but it's a reality. At some stage, if the job doesn't serve you, you are going to be paying for it, and it's going to come in terms of your health. That I know.
Oh, absolutely. And for me, I'm just grateful and thankful that I left my job with what was essentially depression and anxiety, well, diagnosed as that because it had to be, someone, you know, needed, the insurance company needed to put that
label on it.
But I actually knew enough at that stage that I refused to take antidepressants or any drugs for this because I actually realized I needed to feel and to connect with what was going on. I needed to feel the grief. I needed to feel the sadness. I needed to feel the anger that I had around the way that I felt that I'd been treated, the injustices of what went on. All of these things, I knew that enough that I actually had to feel this.
Right.
And so this process, the Lifeline process that I learned virtually, it was the week that I actually stopped working. It was the way serendipity happens and the universe works for you. Darren was actually here in Australia, 5 minutes from my home at that stage, teaching this technique.
So Darren
Weissman, who wrote the book, The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude, and put the whole process of Lifeline technique together. So not only this process allowed me to heal by feeling.
Wow. So, okay, now the modalities we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting an understanding of what Lifeline technique is, and it's helped you, and because of that you have faith in its ability to help your clients, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's cut to the chase, and somebody comes to you and says, I don't know what my true purpose is. I just know I don't like my job. I know I don't like the environment. It's got to the stage where, you know, I don't care about the money anymore. For somebody to say that, you know that they're at the end of their tether, right? Because most people will say the money's good, that's why I'm staying, right? Because I've got bills to pay, etc. So when they sort of like throw that last bit out, it's almost as though they've severed that link with money is everything because they know that money isn't everything.
Yeah.
And it's costing them, they're paying for it in terms of their ability to be happy. Yeah? And you know they're going to pay for it in their relationships, they're going to pay for it in their health. So they come to you and say, look, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't care anymore in the sense that if the bills go, they can take the house, etc., so to speak.
Yeah.
I just want to find out what is going to be good for me. I've been to the career counselor in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
They've given me a whole stack of tests, and I've done them, and they tried to pigeonhole me into these various types of employment and occupation. None of that really excites me, mm-hmm. even though they suit my skills.
Yes.
So what is it that you do that can help them make that connection?
Well, we do two things. One is that I'll work with them with Lifeline Technique because they have these limiting beliefs about themselves and their abilities.
Oh, okay.
And so what happens, we have these beliefs that we've learned as a child, mm-hmm. often as a child, mm-hmm. That we're not good enough, or yeah. that we're failures, or we're a nobody, or I'm useless. Now, we don't always connect to these feelings about ourselves, because they're hidden, they're subconscious.
So, but we've heard them often enough, or we've taken on board somebody else's opinion.
Yeah, and it might not even be someone else's opinion. It might be someone that, something that's a parent or someone or a teacher, someone significant in our lives, mm-hmm. or it doesn't even have to be that significant.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone in our life might do something that will, it's like, you know, as a young child, if you do something that you don't feel is particularly wrong or whatever, and someone says to you, go to your room right now and don't come out until I tell you to come out. Mm. Now, how do you think a little 3-year-old child might feel about that?
They'd interpret that as they've done something bad.
Yeah. And they feel rejected, and they may feel unloved.
Uh-huh.
And so we start to build up these hidden feelings of the ones I've just been through. So it's like I'm not good enough, I'm unlovable, I'm a nobody, mm-hmm. I'm a lot of people feel or learn that they're powerless. They can't do anything about anything. So what happens is with the Lifeline Technique, we're able to go through and have people connect with these feelings, because we just shove them away. We don't want to acknowledge them. But in fact, if we can actually acknowledge these feelings that we have about ourselves, in just acknowledging them, we release them. They just go. It's only because we refuse to acknowledge them that they stay trapped in our bodies.
So what do you think to somebody who then has to, you know, they say, I don't want to relive these experiences because it's too painful.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how do you help them through that?
Well, this is what traditional psychology does is that they get people to talk about their experiences.
Yeah.
And talk and talk and talk and talk. But what happens is quite often the people don't actually recognize these feelings that are underlying these experiences. So with the Lifeline Technique, it's a really quick process. So it's basically a big chunk of NLP or neuro-linguistic programming. So what we do is I will interpret a client's body using muscle testing. Muscle testing is also called kinesiology, or there are kinesiologists around that use muscle testing. We know there's a number of chiropractors around who use applied kinesiology, which is also muscle testing. So what happens is that I, or Lifeline practitioners, including myself, will interpret the body. And so we've got a whole list of hundreds of emotions that might be there. And then I'll interpret the body and say, you might have an emotion of, say, let's say, resisting the flow of life may come up. So then what I do is I say to a client, so what's the first immediate thought that comes to your mind when you connect to that emotional concept of resisting the flow of life?
Mm.
And the person might say, oh, they become aware that, well, maybe they are resisting the flow of life. But that's all they need to do is just become aware of it. They just connect to it.
They don't have to explain it or rationalize it?
No, they just need to connect with that feeling, oh, yeah, I do resist the flow of life. And then that's the seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
connecting with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the next step, this is NLP, as mm-hmm. I said, is to actually feel it in your body.
And okay, so if they feel it in your body, they can say, oh, I feel it as a pain in my big toe.
Yeah.
I'm not being facetious. Some no. people do.
Some people may, but it may be sort of a tightness in your tummy region.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a heaviness in your chest and heart. You might feel it in your head. It might come through as a twinge in your shoulders, anywhere. And so what happens is you breathe into that feeling in your body,
mm-hmm.
and then you breathe it on out. So you actually, again, are connecting with it and then letting it go. And then the third step of the process is to, I ask people, I say, listen to the voice of self-talk, you know, that little chattery sort of voice that goes on in the back of your head.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your belief about you that stops you from going with the flow of life?
And does it drop, the penny drop for people there and then, or do they become very agitated when they get to that point?
Doing this process, I have found virtually everyone connects to it. And if they, and quite easily in most cases, if they can't connect to what the belief is, I'll just do some more of this process and actually uncover the block that stops them from connecting with that. So we sort of go around and about and check it out. But invariably, I'd have to say that the majority of people, it comes back to these core underlying beliefs about themselves, which keep coming up, is I'm not good enough, I'm a failure, I'm a nobody. But as soon as you've actually, it does sound weird, mm-hmm. but I can't, it works. It's worked for me and it's worked for Lawa, it's worked for you and it's worked for all my clients.
Yeah.
As soon as you actually, and so what we do is we give what's called infinite love and gratitude. Now, love is a universal healing modality, and gratitude is giving thank you, is giving thanks.
Okay, somebody might say, you know, I've just been fired. I'm not going to be thankful about that. How do you sort of reconcile those?
Well, I can use myself as an example, and yes, if ultimately, the fact is I was fired from my job. And for me, I was grateful, and it doesn't seem like it at the time, but it's about looking at how can I see this differently. For me, it was the greatest opportunity in my life.
It set you free from being chained to the corporate desk, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Now, and I do acknowledge that it is difficult to be able to see it that way. But
At that point in time.
But if you can connect with a practitioner that can take you through either myself or these other Lifeline practitioners, it can actually take you through a process
mm-hmm.
that will allow you to be able to see what it is that's going on for you.
Okay, so you would advocate, or you'd actually suggest, that most people, rather than get to that stage of being, you know, retrenched, fired, and turning up and finding your, you know, your desk and your belongings outside the building, that I would say most people would have an inkling already that they're not, whatever's going on in their life or their job, is not going in a swimmingly fine fashion.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's best to see somebody like you before at that point in time.
Yes, yes.
Right? So where can they, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can get in touch with me. This process that I go through can be done on Skype, phone. It's all energetic.
Doesn't have to be face-to-face.
Doesn't have to be face-to-face at all. And I have many clients. I have clients all
interstate,
over the interstate here in Australia, and I've also have had clients overseas as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it works really effectively.
How can they get to talk to you?
They can talk to me by emailing me, and my name is Suzanne, Suzanne, and it's suzanne@transformationalliving.com.au. And within the next week or so, my website will be up and running.
So website
is www.transformationalliving.com.au. transformationalliving.com.au.
Okay, so actually it's live now. It's just we just launched it. Anyway, so coming back to this initial point, real life client situations, I think people are interested and want to know that there is a there is a result they can get, and of course you've got your clients without breaching confidentiality.
Yeah,
can you cite a couple of examples and talk through their, I guess, their situation from when they came to see you, feeling as though it's like, you know, my life has just ended because my job ended, or I am so unhappy in my job but I cannot see a way out of it. Can you help me?
I have a one client that comes to mind is a 30-year-old woman. This is actually the woman with the migraines.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so she's got a physically debilitating condition, right? And anybody who's got a severe headache would know what it's like in terms of, you know, 10 times or 100 times worse. That's what a migraine is like.
Yeah.
And I've watched people, I don't get migraines, but I've watched people who've got migraines, and literally they cannot get out of bed and they're throwing up.
Mm-hmm. That's what she's like. She's totally debilitated.
Incapacitated.
And incapacitated for days on end.
With in a darkened room, yes. Yes.
Yep.
No and sound, no light, no sound. Food.
Well, no, exactly. And then, you know, like you can throw in another perspective on this. How do you reckon this is impacting on her marriage?
Or everything else in her life. Yeah.
In fact, she can't even and won't have, she's 30, she's been married for 4 years, and she believes that she can't have children at the moment, because how could she care for a baby with the level of disability that she has with these migraines?
Wow, that's pretty.
So not only is it impacting on her work, her marriage, and her potential, you know, like to have a family. So this is having major effects on this young woman. She actually, she lives interstate, so most of the work that we do on the phone, and then she came to